Okay, so, in fact, let's go to Hebrews chapter 7, from verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Okay, so we know that the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry is likened to that of Melchizedek. Okay, so Melchizedek. Now, why is this important? Because the Bible says that Jesus is a high priest, but the Jews had a high priest. Okay, so they had high priests already. Now, these high priests were after the order of Aaron, and God actually made it a constitution. That was the commandment, that Aaron and his children after him were going to be priests. Okay, so Aaron would be high priest, Eleazar and the others would follow like that. So the constitution made Aaron a high priest. Which constitution? The law. Okay, all right. So he says that this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, he met Abraham when he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. So this is in Genesis chapter 14. So in Genesis chapter 14, Abraham had gone to rescue his nephew or cousin, Lot, and from being a prisoner of war. So when Abraham came back, the Bible says that Melchizedek came and met him. Melchizedek met him when he was coming back. So this Melchizedek, the Bible says he was a priest of the Most High God. Okay. So this, the law had not been given yet. And many people have theorized about who Melchizedek was. And some say that he was the pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus, meaning that this was Jesus Christ that appeared and met Abraham. Couldn't have been. The Bible tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus, until he came to the earth, never existed outside of the Father. And the Bible is clear on that. You find scripture after scripture after scripture. Even in the book of Revelations, when the Bible talks about him coming forward and riding on a horse, the Bible says his name was what? The Word of God. Hallelujah. So everything you find is that. That's not to say there are no types. It's the typology. It's like there are things that represent something. Okay, there are things that represent. Okay, so it's a picture. Melchizedek was a picture of Christ. Okay, but was it Jesus in the flesh? No, I don't think so. It will take a lot to prove that it was Jesus. Okay, so that's what people talk about Christophany. They say Christophany is Jesus appearing in the Old Testament. Okay, that's a Christophany. And they have built all kinds, but it is not really, it does not take away from the substance of the message. So it's not an issue. Because I'm teaching, I'm just laying these foundations. Okay. So the Bible talks about Melchizedek. So this Melchizedek came from a place called Salem and came and met Abraham. In fact, when you look at the Jews, their rabbinical tradition, they trace Melchizedek to Shem, Noah's son Shem. Okay, because we know that Shem was alive around the time of Abraham. He was. And the blessing that he had actually received the blessing of priesthood. Okay, he had received the blessing of priesthood. So some theologians believe that that was actually Shem, Abraham's great-grandfather. I tend to lean towards that angle. Doesn't really matter who he was. The Bible says he was priest of the Most High God. Hallelujah. So he met Abraham. It says that when he met him, Abraham recognized who he was. So obviously, this was someone that Abraham recognized. Okay, so it could have been a spiritual recognition, or it could have been that he knew that he was a priest. Okay, so it says that Abraham met him, and he blessed Abraham. Abraham gave him a tithe. So this scripture here is establishing something. It says, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. You see that? Made like unto the Son of God. Abideth a priest continually. What is he saying here? He says, without father, without mother, without descent. That's why people say that this was Jesus in the... Now, if he did not have a father and he did not have a mother, okay, and he was not Adam, he had no business being on earth. No spirit being has any right to operate on this earth without human permission or cooperation. Are we together? Yes. So if he actually did not have a father, didn't have a mother, meaning he was not born, everybody after Adam and Eve has been born, right? So that's the only way. Even Jesus, when he was coming, he came through a woman. So if this was a fact, that what he's saying is that he goes on to tell you, he says, neither beginning of days nor end of days. He's talking about without genealogy, that the Bible does not talk about his genealogy. Why is he saying that the Bible doesn't talk about genealogy? Genealogy is like lineage, okay? Like this one's great-grandfather is this person. This one's grandfather. And then you trace it. That's called a lineage, okay? So the Bible usually talks about genealogy. They'll tell you, and Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob and Esau. Jacob begat the 12 brethren, okay? Then Judah, Phares, and all that. So that's a genealogy. But when it comes to Melchizedek, the Bible does not, it gives him this name and does not tell us anything else about him. That's what it means by without father. I mean, his father is not stated there. But why is he saying this? He's going to establish him. He said, now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of all the spoils. This is Hebrews 7. I'm on verse 5 now. And verily, they that are of the sons. So this is why he's saying that he didn't have a father and a mother, that his father and mother were not listed. So he's comparing him to Aaron. Then he says, verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take the tithe of the people according to the law. That is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. So we know about Abraham, the father of faith. Abraham had a son called Isaac. He also had Ishmael, but Abraham had a son called Isaac. Then Isaac had Jacob and Esau. Okay? And then we know Jacob had Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and the rest. Okay? Judah. Okay? And all the others. Okay? Now, what is he saying? He says that the sons of Levi, when Levi, there was an instance where Levi and Simeon, because somebody had assaulted their sister, they went and killed the whole town of Shechem, Simeon and Levi. And then Jacob spoke up and said, their anger is fierce. May I never come into their congregation. So he spoke a lot of things. So virtually, he was separating himself from the camp of Levi. But when they came from Egypt, by then Levi himself had died. These were his great-grandchildren. So when they came from Egypt, the Bible says God brought them out by their tribes. So you had Reubenites, and then the Simeonites, the Levites, and then those from Judah. Okay. So when they came and they got to the place, the Bible says Moses went to meet with the Lord. He went for a long meeting. Okay. So 40 days, 40 nights, Moses was away from these people. And they got up and said, where is this Moses who brought us out of Egypt? We don't even know what happened to him. So they went to Aaron and said, look, make something for us to represent the God who is leading us. Now, this is interesting. So the Bible says that Aaron immediately asked for their golden earrings and made a golden calf for these people. Okay? Now, I'm thinking that, look, how many of you, even if we gave you gold, could make a golden calf now? Unless it was a skill you had before. Are you with me? So these guys... This is what they were doing. These people were into idol worship in Egypt. Aaron, this was not his first time. It's not a skill that you just comes upon you like that. So this guy was used to this. So he knew what to do because they just said, hey, we don't know what has become of Moses. But you, like, he asked for it. He said, bring me your earrings. And he made it for them. And when Moses came and asked him, he said, oh, don't be angry. The people came to me, and then when they brought their ear, he said, I threw it into the fire, and out of the fire came this golden calf. That's actually what Aaron said. And Moses said God wanted to kill Aaron as well, but he interceded on behalf of Aaron. Can you imagine? That's what he said. I threw the thing into the fire, and out came this golden calf. Anyway, so when Moses came and met them, it says they were dancing, they were shouting, they were jubilating. So when they were approaching the place, he said, what is this sound that I'm hearing? What sound is this? And Joshua said, oh, maybe it's a sound of war. And Moses said, no. It's not a sound of victory or the sound of defeat. This is some people who are partying. So when they found, they went and met them like that. So Moses said, those who are on the Lord's side should come to him. And the Bible says the Levites came and stood on his side. And the Levites took their sword and went and killed a lot of the Israelites who were engaged in idolatry. And the Bible says that because of that act, now God separated the tribe of Levi unto himself. Hallelujah. That's how God made. So the tribe of Levi now became priests, the tribe of priests. Now, the Bible is saying that, you know, when God established the priesthood, he said the Israelites has to bring their tithe to the chief priest or the high priest. And this was to go to Aaron and his sons. Okay, Aaron and his sons. Now, Aaron and his sons were descendants of who? Levi. They were descendants of Levi. Okay, all right. So let's read verse 5. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 5. Verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. And he says that they were all children of Abraham. But Judah, children of Abraham, Benjamin, children of Abraham, but the Levites were to receive the tithe from them. Then he goes on to say, but he whose descent is not counted from them. So he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. So he's establishing something that because God said, Jesus, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now there was a priesthood already on earth. There was a Levitical priesthood. So if God is giving this Melchizedek priesthood to Christ, the question then is it a better priesthood or is it a lesser priesthood? So that is what he's trying to settle over here. Hallelujah. Okay. So it says, he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had a promise. So he's saying that when Abraham came from the sort of the kings and met Melchizedek, Melchizedek actually gave him the blessing. Even though Abraham had the promise, God had given the promise to Abraham, but Melchizedek blessed him. So then he says, without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. It says that you cannot, a lesser would not bless the greater in this context. And the blessing, when you look at the Old Testament, the pictogram is somebody like bowing and doing the hand like this. So it's someone greater conferring something on someone lesser. That's the blessing. So he's saying that Melchizedek, who blessed Abraham, cannot be inferior to Abraham. He was obviously greater than Abraham. Melchizedek was greater than Abraham. And then he says that, now, Abraham's descendant, Levi, who was going to become a priest, had not yet been born. So he was inside his grandfather paying the tithe to Melchizedek. That's what he said. So he says that, and here, men that died receive tithe. But there, he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Hallelujah. And as I may so say, Levi also received tithe. Who received tithe, or who receives tithe, paid tithe in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. So he's established that Melchizedek was greater than Levi. So the priesthood of Melchizedek, obviously, is greater than the priesthood of Levi. That's what he's establishing here. Now, why am I going through this? This is important. If, therefore, perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? It says if the Levitical priesthood was so good and Aaron's priesthood was so perfect, then there was no need for another priesthood. But that priesthood was imperfect. And he's going to tell us why. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. This is how I can explain it in modern times, okay? Have you ever heard when they have what they call a coup d'etat in a nation? What they say is what? They've suspended the constitution. You see? Because as long as that constitution remains, only office holders who came into office through the mechanism of that constitution can rule. So they say we have staged the coup, we have removed, we've suspended the constitution. So now, the new guy says, this is my regional minister for this particular area. If the constitution is standing, that guy will not be recognized. But he says that no, that constitution has been set aside. So now there's a new constitution. So he's saying that God made Levi priest for the priest, okay? He made the Levites the priest and made Aaron the priest. If God was going to bring in another priest, God has to dismiss that old constitution. So now what constitution made Levi priest? It was the law, the Ten Commandments together with all the bylaws. Hallelujah. So he said that because, he said, for the priesthood to be changed, there must be of necessity a change of the constitution. That's what the Bible is saying here. Okay. He says, for he of whom these things are spoken pertained to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. Now he's beginning to talk about Jesus. What's he going to talk about Jesus now? He says that Jesus, who we say is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, this Jesus, he's not from the tribe of Levi. Naturally, he's not from the tribe of Levi. He's from the tribe of Judah. And concerning Judah, nothing has been said about priesthood. So that's what he's establishing here. Okay. For it is evident that, it is evident that our Lord sprang out from Judah, of which tribe Moses speak nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. So, Aaron was going to be a priest as long as he lived. And then when he died, his son would take over. And one, they were being sustained by the law, and two, by their own longevity. So if you have Aaron being a good priest, as long as Aaron remains alive, he is going to be what? A priest. But then he says that when Jesus became a priest, the Father did not make him a priest by a law, because the law had been dismissed. So the Father swore an oath. So you have Aaron who became a priest by law. Okay? But then you have Jesus who became a priest by an oath. The Father swearing. When Aaron was becoming a priest, God didn't swear. He didn't swear. He just told Moses that Aaron was going to be a priest. And that's how he became a priest. Okay? But when Jesus was going to become a priest, the Father swore by himself that he is a priest forever. Okay. Now, then he says, for he testifies that thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 18, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made a priest, it says, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So this is irrevocable. So this particular priesthood, he says, cannot be changed. All right. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Hallelujah. He said that this new testament or this new will is based on what? A better testament. It's better than the previous one. And they truly were many priests, he says, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. He says that Aaron, there were so many priests. They had so many priests. Okay, Aaron, Eleazar, Eleazar's children, like all the way. So many priests to Zechariah. So many priests. Okay, Caiaphas and all the, there were so many priests. A lot of priests. He said, why? Why did they have so many priests? He said, because they could not continue because of brevity. They died. They kept dying. That was why. Okay. Then he says, but this man, he says, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. He said that this man, he's talking about Jesus, said this Jesus never dies. He's immortal. Hallelujah. He said, because he's immortal, his priesthood will never change. Never. Okay. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He said, Jesus said that the one who comes to me, he says that I give them eternal life, said they will never perish.
Amen.
Because he is alive to keep
Glory
them.
To
Glory to God.
Amen.
Say he's alive to keep me.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Then it says, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Higher than the heavens. Who needed not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. It says that Jesus is not like Aaron and Co. Aaron and Co, when they entered into the most holy place, so they had the tabernacle of meeting, so they had the outer court, the inner court, and the most holy place. So the most holy place, only the high priest entered that place one time, once a year. And when he entered, it says he had to enter with blood. Not just for the people, but for himself, because he was not perfect. And he's saying that this, our high priest, is not like those high priests who had to go and offer blood first for their own sins before for the sins of the people. He said, this one is perfect. He is holy, harmless, separate from sinners, higher than the heavens. Hallelujah. So that's what he's telling us here. So he says he abides forever. Glory to God. And he says that he didn't... And the second thing he was talking about is the quality of the offerings that they were making. The quality of the sacrifices. He says that those sacrifices, they had to make it every year. Once a year, they had to show up with an animal. Okay, a goat or a lamb or a cow. Once a year, they had to go and offer. He says that this one, his sacrifice is superior to that one. He had to offer his blood one time and it was enough.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
So after saying all these things, that's when it comes to chapter 8 of Hebrews. And it says that now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. So he's saying that this is a summary of what I've been talking about before. Glory to God. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens. Glory to God. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. He says that he's a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle. What does he mean by of the true tabernacle? He's talking about, you know, God told Moses that when you go, build the tabernacle after the pattern that I showed you. After the pattern. He said there's a pattern, meaning design. God showed Moses a design. So Moses was not trying to wing it here. He had to create it exactly like God showed him on the mountain. So those 40 days and 40 nights, it was not about the Ten Commandments. God was showing him the tabernacle. God, that's actually what took most of the time, because God was talking about, and this whole tabernacle was about Jesus. Everything about it represent his son. So the 40 days and 40 nights was for that purpose. Because how long will it take for God to announce 10 commandments? It wasn't going to take that long. Hallelujah. And then now he says that Jesus is a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle. So this is the real one, because God told Moses that build it like the picture I showed you. A picture of what? So there's an original. Hallelujah. There's an original. Said, I've shown you a picture. Build it like the picture I showed you. And that is what? There's an original. Hallelujah. So that original, he said that original, even though the copy had a high priest. It's called acting high priest. So the copy had a high priest. He said the original also has a high priest. That's what he's saying here. And then he says that a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. He says the one on earth, it was built by Moses. He said, the one in heaven was built by God himself.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus.
Then he says, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. He said, the high priest is not just a political office that they will be keeping money in their house in a sack. He says that the priesthood is to function, to do something. Hallelujah. So if the guy is a priest, he has a job to do. Praise the Lord. So now what he's saying is that, for if he were on earth, he should not be a priest. He said if he were on earth, he should not be a priest. If he just were on earth, he shouldn't be a priest. Because he said there are already priests on earth. He says that because there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. According to the law. Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, what's that admonition? He said, "See, saith God, that you will make all things according to the pattern showed to you in the mountain." Glory to God. All right. Then he says, "But now has he obtained a more excellent ministry." A more excellent ministry. By how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. Better covenant. Glory to God. Now, he's saying that not only is our high priest superior, the constitution he superintends over is superior as well. So, this is a superior ministry with a superior minister. That's what he's talking about. So, when you compare him to what Aaron had, Aaron's own is what? Inferior. Glory to God. Then he says, "For if," he says, "the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there should have been no place for the second." If it was good, it would have been left alone. He says, no. "For finding fault with them, he said, 'Behold, the days come, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant and I regarded them not, said the Lord.'" He says, God says that I'm going to make a new covenant. He was saying that long ago. He said, because when they came out of Egypt, I gave them my word, my commandments, but they couldn't keep it. They couldn't keep it. Now I'm going to do a new one. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord." He says that the laws that Moses wrote on a tablet, the people couldn't keep the laws. They couldn't. So God says, this new thing I'm going to do, it's not going to be tablets of stone. What is it going to do? He says, "I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest." Why? Why? How will they know him? Verse 12, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more."
Amen.
So he says that this is better quality. Whereas the old one, once a year, they had to go and offer sacrifices. Once every year, they had to go and offer a bull for the high priest himself and then for the people. He said, this new high priest, one sacrifice is enough. One sacrifice is enough. Verse 13, "In that he says a new covenant, he hath made the first one old, obsolete, it has expired." He says, the moment God said, "I'll do a new one," the old one does not exist anymore. It has been dismissed. "Now that which decayed and waxed old is ready to vanish away." Do you remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross? The Bible says that at 3 o'clock, when he dismissed his spirit, it says that there was an earthquake and there was a trembling and there was darkness and everything. At the end of it, what happened? The Bible says that the curtain, the thick curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place, it was split from top to bottom. Not bottom to top, top to bottom. An angel ripped that thing. Or God himself ripped it from top to bottom. So now people could see directly into the most holy place. Hallelujah. And it says that signified the end of the Old Testament. That was the end of it. It had become an expired covenant. It's no longer valid. Hallelujah. Say it's no longer valid. Say I'm not under the old. Glory to God. So when he goes on, he in chapter 9, he goes on to describe the tabernacle and the tabernacle that was made and people who had to render services and everything. But you go to verse 29, that's where 27 actually. So let's go to verse 27. He says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, he has established a lot," okay? Maybe I should just... Well, it won't take me that long. Okay. Verse 20. Okay, so maybe I'll just go through this. Verse 13. "For if," chapter 9, Hebrews 9, "for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify it to the purifying of the flesh. So this was how the utensils were purified. And this is how the people were purified. The blood, it was sprinkled, the high priest was supposed to sprinkle the blood over the utensils to purify them. He said, if the blood of an animal could purify the unclean, then he says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works. Hallelujah. He says, to serve the living God. He said, even an animal's blood could cleanse them. How much more the blood of the eternal Son of God? He says, because of this, and for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Say, eternal inheritance.
Eternal inheritance.
Say, eternal inheritance. Okay. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon, neither the First Testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. So all these things, blood. Why? He said, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Okay. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, is no remission. So that's what establishes it. So if the Old Testament had blood, the New Testament had to have blood also. That's what is the point he's making here. If the Old Testament had blood, the New Testament had to have blood. Only this blood had to be superior to the old one. Okay. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. We've established that, one, we had a ministry. There was an older ministry which was inferior to the new ministry. There was an older minister which was inferior to the new minister. And then there was an older tabernacle which was inferior to the original tabernacle in heaven. Are we together? Okay. Now, if the original tabernacle in heaven was built by God himself, and the pattern or the shadow was built by a man on earth, and the one on earth had to be sanctified with the blood of an animal, the one in heaven had to be sanctified with the blood from a more perfect source. Okay. Then it says, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in heaven should be purified with blood, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than this. So whatever was bringing us the blood had to be better. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. He says that Jesus didn't enter a place that was built by Moses or Aaron or Bezalel or Oholiab or any of those people. He says that Jesus is entered into the heavens. Glory to God. He says that he is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. What's happening here? You remember when Jesus rose from the grave, and in the garden, Mary Magdalene met him. She didn't know it was Jesus. They came to complete the embalming. You remember Jesus was in the house of Martha and Mary. And the Bible says that Mary got up and took spikenard and anointed him with the oil, okay? And Judas was upset about it, okay? John tells us that it was Judas. So Judas was upset about it. And then Judas said, what a waste. He said, this thing could have been sold and the money given to the poor. And then John says, this he said, not that he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and used to help himself to the contents. Anyway, that's just extra information. But that's what happened. But then Jesus answered and said, he said, don't worry her. He said, she's done a good work on me. He said, because she has done this against my burial. You remember that? So What happened? The day that Jesus died was a high Sabbath. So the Sabbath was going to start at 6 p.m. They couldn't have the bodies on the tree. You know, remember, there were three people that were hanged, Jesus and the two thieves. They could not allow them to remain on the tree, because if they remained on the tree till the Sabbath started, then nobody could go for them, because, you know, that would be an unclean act. And, you know, they were not supposed to touch a dead body and all those things. Certainly, they wouldn't touch that body on a Sabbath day. It was a high Sabbath. It wasn't a regular Sabbath. That's why I shared this with you. I said, I remember in uni, a friend of mine, he used to host a radio program in one of the halls. And then he said, it was on Sunday evenings. And then I heard him saying that Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And then he goes ahead to say that, so if Jesus died on Friday and resurrected on Easter Sunday, how is that 3 days and three nights? And when I listened to it, I knew he was right. But I didn't have the answer. So guess what? I refused to listen to that show that weekend because I didn't want to get confused. But I knew there was an answer. I didn't have it. I didn't want anybody to confuse me. Years later, I understood Jesus didn't die on a Friday. It is not written in the Bible. It didn't say he died on a Friday. It just said that he rose on the first day of the week. But when he died, it was not told us. But we can tell from the Bible talked about it was a Sabbath. And John said that day was a high Sabbath. It was a high day. So the Jews had many kinds of Sabbaths. So if you had, sometimes you had what they call a double Sabbath. It's like Ghana's Independence Day. Maybe the original Independence Day was on a Tuesday, okay? But it can fall on a Thursday or any other day of the week. So sometimes those special Sabbaths fell on other days of the week, not on Friday. It could fall on a Wednesday. And if it fell on a Wednesday, they would have to celebrate that Wednesday Sabbath into Thursday and celebrate the Friday Sabbath, which is a regular weekly Sabbath. So Jesus died on a high Sabbath. Hallelujah. So this is just by the way. Anyway, so later I found an answer. I'm glad I didn't allow myself to get confused. Some people get very territorial with these things. Don't touch my Easter Friday. It's not a big deal. Hallelujah. But you see, when you don't understand some of these things and you encounter somebody who is like very argumentative, then by the time of the end of the encounter, you find a believer no longer is sure, whatever it is. Because the person, okay, now let's poke holes into your Bible. Your Bible says this, but whatever. Then you tell the person, the Bible never said he died on a Friday. Hallelujah. So it's important to know that. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So then he says, when he rose up, early in the morning, he had risen up and left. They buried him in a tomb. Okay, they buried him in a tomb. And they sealed off the tomb with a stone. And then they put soldiers, Roman soldiers, to guard the tomb. The Bible says that Jesus rose up and went out of the tomb. Now, why was the stone rolled away? The stone was not rolled away for Jesus' sake. It was not to help Jesus escape. This is why the stone was rolled away. Remember that when he resurrected and the disciples were gathered together in a room like this, the Bible says that they had closed all the windows and the doors, but Jesus appeared in the midst. So he didn't need a stone to be rolled away for him to come out of the grave. Okay? It was as evidence for eyewitness testimony. Hallelujah. Okay. So we know that Mary went into the garden. So when she went to the garden, she saw that the tomb was empty. The tomb was empty. The stone had been rolled away, because while she was going, she was wondering, who's going to open this cave for us? Who is going to roll away the stone? And when she got there, the stone had been rolled away. And then she entered, and there were angels in the tomb. They said, he is risen, he's not here, you know. But she was so distraught that she came out of the cave, and she was disturbed. And then she saw a man in the garden. She saw a man in the garden. Now, when she saw this man in the garden, she thought it was a gardener. She said it was a gardener. Now, here's the fact we have to understand. The Bible says, by man came death. Which man? Adam. Then it says, by man came the resurrection from the dead. Which man? Jesus. The Bible says, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, there was a death sentence that had been passed. There was a death sentence that had been passed. God had told Adam that, don't eat of this fruit of this tree. The day you eat of it, you will die. And Adam ate it. Did he drop dead physically? No. So what was God talking about? Remember, the Bible says that, for with God, a day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day. It's not saying that with God you can never tell. It was a specific ratio he was using there. Okay? There are certain expressions in the scripture. It said a day as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day. So when you even study about the rapture and all that, it talks about after the second day. Early in the morning of the third day. So these are all things. When he's talking about the first day, the first 1,000 years. The second day, the second 1,000 years. So we have virtually entered into the end of the second day. Early in the third day, the rapture is going to happen any moment from now. Okay? And we are not waiting for any prophecy to be fulfilled. There's no prophecy waiting for the rapture. Okay? And you have to understand this because people wonder why they study the scriptures and they cannot understand the rapture. There's a reason. Remember what Paul said? He said, behold, I show unto you a mystery. He said it was a mystery. If it was common folklore, he wouldn't have said it was a mystery. This was something that even James and the others did not really understand. Are we together? Yeah. So it was hidden there. Because remember that the focus of the Old Testament was the Jews. So not much was said about the Gentile church. That's why it's a mystery. Glory to God. All right. So by man came death. By man came the resurrection from the dead. There's something you have to understand. You have Adam who stood at the head of the first creation. Adam. Perfect Adam. When God made him, he was perfect. And the Bible says that first God created him and then God formed him. Now when God formed Adam, it says that he formed him from the dust of the earth. But he created him from himself. Now when the expressions are not the same in the Hebrew. To create and to form. I've talked about this over and over. Is that not so? Now, when he says that he formed him from the dust of the earth. So you have a statue, like a carving or a sculpting, like you had a physical, like, so he formed the body for him. But he created his spirit, okay? And the Bible says, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And Adam became a living soul. What is happening here? It didn't say God blew on him. It says he breathed. So when he positioned Adam and stood toe to toe, eyeball to eyeball, nostril to nostril to Adam and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. Now, Adam was about the same height as God the Father. Okay? Now, does God the Father have a height? Yes. He fills everywhere with his spirit. But when he met Moses, it says under his feet. So God has feet. And the Bible says that he talked about his hands. So he has hands. He has eyes. Hallelujah. Didn't he say, let us make man in our own image? He said, let him look like us and let him function like us. So Adam was the exact replica of the Father. God made him to look exactly like him. Same height, same build, same everything. And he breathed into him. So his nostril, if it's too toe to toe with him, there's a reason I'm telling you this. His nostril would touch Adam's nostril. And he breathed into him the breath of life. And the Bible says he became a living soul. Now, it was this man, looked exactly like the Father, functioned like the Father, whom God had made, who fell. It was in this Adam that all died. If there was another Adam going to come to pay that death sentence, he had to look exactly like the first. He had to function exactly like the first. He has to appear exactly like the first. So Jesus, physically was exactly like Adam. Same height, same build, same everything. Do you get what's happening here? The difference was the origin of his life. The origin of his life. His life came from the word. Not from corruptible. The Bible says we are not born again from corruptible seed. What does it mean by corruptible seed? You can take any plant and propagate it over, let's say, 5 generations. In the fifth generation, when you harvest, the quality of the produce will not be like the first. It depreciates. But it says that the word of God does not depreciate. God's word has the same value today that it had 2,000 years
ago. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Same value. So if he said it and it will work for Abraham, it will work for you today.
Amen.
If he said it and it will work for David, it will work for you today.
Amen.
If he blessed Judah and he blesses you today, the same word, it will come to pass.
Amen.
Because the word of God does not depreciate. Glory to God. So this is why he's called the second Adam and also the last Adam. Now, I'm saying that Jesus looks exactly like the Father when you see him. That's why Philip said, Master, show us the Father, and it suffices us. What did Jesus say? He said, have I been this long time with you, Philip, and yet you have not known me? He said, anybody, he didn't say who has heard the Father, he said who has seen the Father, has seen me, has seen the Father. Do you understand? So he looked exactly like his Father. Glory to God. So once that he met the qualification, and also the Bible says in him no sin. That's why it says that harmless, perfect, holy, separate from sinners, higher than the heavens. So this is this high priest. So as in Adam all die, in this Adam all are made alive.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. And now he's telling us that Mary turned and said, Rabboni. You know, like when she turned, she said, oh, firstly, she said, oh, please, they have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they've taken him to. If you know where, show me. And Jesus turned and said, Mary. When she heard his voice, she knew exactly what he was talking about. She recognized that voice. She recognized that voice. She turned and said, Rabboni. And she wanted to come and worship him. Jesus said, what? See that you don't touch me. Why? He said, because I have not yet ascended to my Father. But remember that shortly afterward, he was with the disciples. They told Thomas that Jesus has risen and has arrived. Thomas said, seeing is believing. So unless I see him, put my fingers in the holes in his hands, and put my fist in his side, I will not believe. Right? Okay. That's what he said. Isn't that what he said?
Yes.
Okay. So when the next week Jesus was with them and Thomas was there, Jesus called Thomas. He said, come and put your fingers in my palm. Okay. There are holes. Those holes are still there in Jesus' hands. And they are see-through holes. It's not a scar. You know, like someone had a wound. No, there is a hole. You can see through his hands and his feet. As testament, what he did for us one time is forever.
Amen.
Glory to God. Forever. It will never be changed. So, there's something happening here. He says, Mary, don't touch me. But then he says, Thomas, come and touch me and see. Why? Is it by discrimination? Is it because Mary was a woman and Thomas is a man? No. What did he tell Mary? I've not yet ascended. So if he could allow somebody to touch him now, it could only mean that he has ascended and come back. So after his resurrection, he had to ascend into heaven, into this original tabernacle, and offer his blood, and cleanse those utensils one time. That's why I said that by one sacrifice, he has accomplished our salvation. By one sacrifice. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now, it says in verse 25 of Hebrews 9 that, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. Interesting. I like the choice of words. He said, with blood of others, not his own blood. He always entered once a year with other things, other people's blood. If you can count the animals as other people. But anyway, for then must he often, he said that if Jesus were functioning like Levi or Aaron and his grandkids, then he would have to suffer many times since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. One time. Then he says, And as it is appointed unto men once to die. Now this is, I'm coming to where. He says, it's appointed unto men once to die. Have you ever heard this? Somebody saying that everybody has a time to die. Have you heard that specifically before? Everybody has a time to die. The Bible says everybody has a time to die. The Bible never said everybody has a time to die. It couldn't be true that everybody has a time to die. See, how can it be true? Because the Bible actually also tells us that. It said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. 1 Corinthians 15, it says, we shall not, it said, behold, I show you a mystery. Now, this is the mystery. So we shall not all sleep, meaning we will not all die. When Jesus comes, some people will be alive, some of us will be here. And then those who are dead will resurrect, and then the rest of us will be caught up with him. And I believe that this is the generation.
Hallelujah.
We'll walk in this glory and be caught away from here.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that's what he's saying. That what? Amen. As appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. He's not talking about everybody having a time to die. That could not be true. It's not true. The Bible never said everybody has a time to die. It says we shall not all sleep. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. It says we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. What is common for all of us believers that we will all be changed? Glory to God.
Amen.
Say, I will not sleep.
I will not sleep.
If you want to sleep, I'm not talking about physical sleep. Say, I will not sleep. Say, but I will be changed.
I will be changed.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then it says, and as it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Why is he saying that? There's a context. So when you take the Bible out of context, Kenneth Hagin says, when you take any text out of the context, all you are left with is a con. So you get like, you take there's a context, and you try to take it out of context, then you get conned. Anyway, so it says that, as it is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment, then it says, so Christ was once offered. So there's a reason he's telling you this. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. He says that Jesus didn't need to die many times because the death sentence was passed once on man. It was a one time, in the day that you eat of it, you will die. And all humanity died in Adam. It's already established that as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. And the death sentence was passed once. So to pay that death sentence, Jesus needed to die one time. He said, if it were not so, he would have had to be dying every year since the beginning of creation. He says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Glory to God. So this is our high priest. Glory to God. And he's a high priest who blesses. Now let's go to Luke chapter 24, verse 50. It says that, and he led them out. Luke 24, verse 50. He led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. He blessed them. Glory to God. And it says that as he blessed them, it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Received into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So this is what we are talking about today. The high priest who blesses. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So this is our high priest who is holy, who is harmless, who is separate from from sinners, who is higher than the heavens. This high priest continually pronounces a blessing upon
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
And that's why he has brought us into this realm of what? Walking in the blessing. So this blessing is what is what? Transforming our lives.
Amen.
And you see that, say, I'm walking in the blessing. Say, the blessing is over everything that concerns me. Everything, everything. So there's a blessing. It says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. So that a blessing would come upon the Gentiles without fulfilling the law. So without me performing what the law was, I get to inherit the blessing.
Amen.
It's called Abraham's blessing for a reason. Hallelujah. I'll bless you and make your name great. He said it will be a blessing. He said I'll bless them that bless you and I'll curse him that curses you. He said, in you, all the nations of the world will be blessed.
Amen.
It means that we carry the blessing everywhere we go.
Amen.
Wherever you go, that blessing is functioning for you.
Amen.
Functioning in you. Functioning
Amen.
Through you.
Amen.
Anything that touches your hands is blessed.
Amen.
The work that you do is blessed.
Amen.
You are the light of that company.
Amen.
The light of that community.
Amen.
The light of that nation.
Amen.
Everywhere you go, There's an increase that cannot be stopped.
Amen.
The blessing of the Lord, it says, it maketh rich, and it has no sorrow with it. Blessing without toil, riches without toil.
Amen.
The blessing that causes expansion.
Amen.
Everything that you do, prospering beyond your imagination.
Amen.
It says God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think, according to his power that works in you. So you carry the blessing upon your work, the work of your hands, blessed. He said your storehouse is blessed.
Amen.
Your barns blessed.
Amen.
It says that your community blessed.
Amen.
The land blessed.
Amen.
The heavens above you open to give you rain in its season.
Amen.
Your mind blessed. The fruit of your womb blessed.
Amen.
The fruit of your loins blessed.
Amen.
Blessed when you go out and blessed when you come in.
Amen.
Blessed when you rise up and blessed when you sit up.
Amen.
Blessing everywhere.
Amen.
You carry the blessing. And this blessing cannot be limited. The word does not depreciate. This word is as powerful today as the day God spoke it to Abraham. So the blessing is functioning for you. And you are conscious of it as you go for today. You see that you are walking in this blessing. Everything you do is blessed. If you were not experiencing it before, from today you begin to experience it. If there was strife, there is now peace and rest. There's harmony. David said that because of this blessing, he said, when my enemies came upon me to eat up my flesh, he said, they stumbled and they fell.
Amen.
He said, once they gather against me, they have fulfilled their part of the scripture. He said, they definitely will stumble and fall.
Amen.
Nobody can stand against you successfully.
Hallelujah.
Everywhere you go, he said, the Lord is the savior of my face. He is the help of my countenance.
Amen.
So when you stand to speak, like Job said that, when I passed, he said, the elderly stood at attention. Hallelujah. So when you speak, the wisdom of God is upon your lips.
Amen.
When you venture into an enterprise, you become a captain.
Amen.
We've studied it. We said the blessing
Amen.
Makes you a captain.
Amen.
The blessing makes you a master.
Amen.
The blessing makes you the head of the household.
Amen.
The blessing makes you a king.
Amen.
The blessing makes you a ruler.
Amen.
The blessing expands you on every side.
Amen.
On the right and on the left, everywhere around you is blessed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are the blessed of the Lord.
Amen.
You carry the blessing with you everywhere you go.
Thank you, Lord.
The blessing is upon you.
Amen.
He said, there's blessings are on the head of the righteous.
Amen.
You are the righteous. You carry this blessing.
Amen.
This our high priest, he lives forever.
Amen.
To make sure that we inherit what he has died to give to us.
Amen.
Nobody can change him. Nobody can replace him. He can never be dismissed. He says, by the power of an endless life. Glory to God. It says, no one, I said that worthy is the lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Why did he receive these things? For us. He received these things for us. Say,
he received it for me.
Power to do exploits. Power to expand. Power to take over nations. To take over territories, industries.
Amen.
Power. He said, and then to receive riches.
Amen.
Glory, beauty, excellence. And wisdom. He said, don't premeditate. He said, your heavenly father will put words in your mouth.
Amen.
He said, when you stand to pitch, your heavenly father will put words in your mouth.
Amen.
What you say may be different, but what you hear is what they need to hear.
Amen.
As you speak, God will cause them to hear what is right.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
That is the blessing of the Lord.
Amen.
And that is what we have inherited. We have inherited it. It means we got it by right. We got it. We didn't have to earn it. We cannot try to earn it. We got it. It has been given. It has been bequeathed to us.
Amen.
We have received this blessing.
Amen.
That is the blessing of the Lord.
Amen.
So this blessing is functioning in us because of our great high priest.
Amen.
He says that by the power of an endless life, he abides forever.
Amen.
His priesthood is superior.
Amen.
His ministry is superior.
Amen.
The tabernacle he presides over is superior.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
I'm not looking forward to the days of Elijah. I don't want to live in the days of Elisha. What I have is better, far greater than what they had. Because the greater one is my high priest.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And when he rose from the grave, he called me his brother. He said, go and tell my brethren.
Amen.
He and I share the same father.
Amen.
The blessing that came upon Abraham has come upon me.
Amen.
Nothing can cause that blessing to deteriorate.
Amen.
The word of God is incorruptible.
Amen.
It is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Glory to God. He said, we are above only and never beneath. He said, the first and never the last.
Amen.
I am above only, never beneath. The first and never the last. When you go forward, you are the first. You are the first and the best. Never the last. Never the worst.
Amen.
You are above only. You will never be beneath.
Amen.
You will never be at the mercy of somebody.
Amen.
It will never happen.
Amen.
The blessing of the Lord rests upon you.
Amen.
Everywhere you go, In the name of the Lord Jesus,
Amen.
I declare it to be so.
Amen.
I proclaim this blessing over you today.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I declare that this blessing, it causes everything to line up in your interest.
Amen.
Everything to line up. Men,
Amen.
They are queuing to help you.
Amen.
They are lining up. Angels are carrying this word. They are going into nations you have never visited.
Amen.
And they are lining up helpers for
Amen.
You. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Before you arrive, they are ready to receive
Amen.
You. They are ready to receive you.
Amen.
You'll be added everywhere you go. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The blessing of the Lord.
Amen.
It rests upon you.
Amen.
I proclaim it upon you in the name
Amen.
Of Jesus.
Amen.
The name that is higher than every other name. This blessing will never depreciate.
Amen.
It will never deteriorate. It will
Amen.
Always work for you.
Amen.
Your children after you, blessed.
Amen.
Their children, blessed.
Amen.
Generations after you, blessed.
Amen.
And then all the people will call you blessed.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The blessing of the Lord. The Bible says it maketh rich. He has no sorrow with it.
Amen.
I declare it over you today.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Anything that was crooked, I command it to line up properly.
Amen.
To become straightened in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Anything that has delayed, I command it to be accelerated
Amen.
By the blessing of the
Amen.
Lord. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Where you lost one, receive 100.
Amen.
Receive 1,000.
Amen.
Receive 10,000. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I declare it so. In the mighty name of Jesus,
Amen.
Nothing can make you afraid.
Amen.
No one can make you afraid.
Amen.
You're not afraid of the past.
Amen.
You're not afraid of the present. You are definitely not afraid of the future.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus,
Amen.
The Bible says the righteous, they are as bold as a lion. I declare that when you go off into your industry, you are as bold as a lion.
Amen.
You are taking over many industries.
Amen.
In the name
Amen.
Of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
He said, the people I have not known, they shall serve me.
Amen.
I declare that that is your story.
Amen.
People you have not known, they will serve you.
Amen.
They will stand at attention when you speak.
Amen.
God has commanded them
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, I declare this so in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Where there was barrenness, I command fruitfulness.
Amen.
Fruitfulness in the name of
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Fruitfulness.
Amen.
Ability, the ability of God.
Amen.
I told you, I said, the blessing confers on you abilities you didn't have before.
Amen.
Whatever ability you require, let it come to you today.
Amen.
Let it come to you now.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever ability you think you require to excel, receive it now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Receive it now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Whether it's a soft skill or a hard skill, whatever they call it, receive it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You excel. You excel in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The Bible says God brought them out by a high hand.
Amen.
And that high hand is upon you
Amen.
To lift you up.
Amen.
He said it's God who lifts up men.
Amen.
And when God lifts you up, nobody can put you down.
Amen.
If they conspire, they will fall into their own pits.
Amen.
It says that whosoever breaks a head, a serpent will bite him.
Amen.
And anybody that takes a pit will fall into it. If they lay a trap for you, they will fall into it themselves.
Amen.
When they conspire against you, they will be smitten in pieces.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord encamps around the dwelling of the righteous
Amen.
And delivers them from every affliction.
Amen.
I declare that you are blessed.
Amen.
Blessed in the morning and blessed in the
Amen.
Evening. Blessed when you go out and blessed when you come in.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Father, we thank you.
Amen.
Just thank the Lord. Thank him for his word. Thank him that this blessing, you are walking in it. Thank him that you are enjoying it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, we give you praise. We give you glory, Lord. We are walking in the reality of this.
Amen.
We are the high priest. Oh, that is separate from, that is holy, harmless, separate from sinners, higher than the heavens. This great high priest has commanded a blessing upon us. We are walking in it in the name of Jesus. Oh, we are set apart for distinction. Set apart for honor, set apart for glory, set apart for increase, multiplication, expansion on every side. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we are set apart in the name of the Lord Jesus. This perfect high priest, by one sacrifice, he has perfected us forever. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, we are blessed. Our children are blessed. Their children are blessed. And their children are blessed. And their children are blessed. And their children are blessed. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Under the Old Testament, he said to the third and fourth generation, in this New Testament, forever, forever, blessed forever. Your children, 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 blessed forever. There's no end to this blessing.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
This is a superior
Amen.
Testament based upon better promises,
Amen.
Superintended by a better high priest.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we thank you.
Thank you.
We give you praise. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We bless you, Lord. We receive the blessing and we walk in it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we'll take the communion. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus.